What's my horse's handicap?
The fact that you're backing him.
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this racing postcast. It's a Maidan special. We've got a great Dubai World Cup card coming up this weekend. I'm Maddie Plell, joined in the studio by Nick Driver. Nick, lovely to have you in here.
Good to be here.
Yeah, and we've also got Ron Wood and Sean O'Sullivan from Paddy Power as well. A podcast full of debutantes. We're going to try and pick out as many winners of the card as we can for you. We'll get started with part one. We're going to kick off with the 12:15 Godolphin Mile. Take us away with the betting, Sean.
Sure. So Muntazat is 10 to 11. We have Heavy Metal 6 to 1, Cold Front 7 to 1, True Timber 12 to 1, Kimber 14 to 1 and 20 to 1 bar them.
Thank you very much. Now, Ron, I'll start off with you. Is this Muntazat such a good thing as the market would suggest?
I'm not 100% convinced. I mean, if he runs the race that he ran last time, he'll probably win because he was so impressive. He broke the track record. I've just got doubts about whether he'll do that again. Certainly maybe not the track record, but just whether he can run to quite that same level. Last time, he had stall one and he got an uncontested lead because Heavy Metal, everyone thought, would make the run in. Heavy Metal fell out the stall, so Muntazat got his own way on the rail. He went the shortest way around and he was absolutely brilliant on the day. But this time he's in six. He's got a few pace horses to his inside. I don't know. And also, it's only a 3-week break. It's not often you see a horse run to that sort of level and run a race as fast as that and then do it again 3 weeks later. You know, whether you're a human or a horse or whatever, if you put in a huge effort, it does take a little while to get over it. So, I mean, he might do it. If he does it again, he'll most likely win. But I don't know. I think Sean said 10 to 11. I don't know. I'd rather just look. I think there are enough interesting ones against him to think, well, you know, I'll look elsewhere just because I'm not absolutely sold on him running to that level. I don't know what the other, you know, what Nick thinks. But
okay. Well, who does take your fancy then?
Well, I've put up a horse called Cold Front. He's an American horse. I mean, in the spotlight. He's a very fast horse. He's got quite a good record. I mean, he's only run eight times in his life. He's won six of them. And like a really interesting thing there is that all six of his wins have come at different tracks, all in America, but they've come on different tracks. So it sort of tells you that I don't think Maidan will be a problem for him because he can just handle any surface. And it's a sign of a good horse. I mean, of those six wins, four of them were in graded races. It's quite unusual for a horse to do that, to win at so many different, you know, courses, because a lot of them will stick in their own circuit, California, New York or whatever. The fact he's just sort of been here, there and everywhere and more or less won every time, I think is really encouraging. He's got a wide draw, but he's very fast. I think he'll be out like a shot. There are sort of three or four pace angles in the race, Muntazat being one, Cold Front being one, Heavy Metal if he breaks, he's another pace horse, and maybe even Kimber. I'm just not convinced all four of them are going to break on the day. Every now and again, one of them will miss the kick or so on. I don't know. I don't think that all four of them will just jump and go. The one horse I do think will get out there and will get in a really good, comfortable rhythm is Cold Front. So I think, you know, I think he's a good horse. If this race was run in America, he'd be favourite and Muntazat would be second favourite, as it is over here. I don't know, Sean, what price is Cold Front, did you say?
7-1.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very fair.
Yeah.
As I've sort of noted in the spotlight I got in front of me here, but I mean, Todd Pletcher, he hasn't got a great record travelling his horses abroad in the grand scheme of things. But in terms of Maidan, he's only had six runners on this card at Maidan. Three of them were placed at 7-1, 14-1, 25-1. So you've got the fact that the horse is probably going to handle the track fine. He's had a nice sort of 6-week break. The trainer knows how to line him up for this meeting. He's got the speed. I don't know. I mean, they might all end up cutting each other's throats. Muntazat, Heavy Metal, Kimber, Cold Front. If all of them break and all of them go, you know, I'm in trouble with Cold Front, Muntazat's in trouble, Heavy Metal's in trouble, in which case you're looking for one of the closers. But I'm happy to be on Cold Front.
That's very, very encouraging there if you're a fan of Cold Front. Nick, who's your fancy?
Muntazat for me.
Keeping it simple.
Yeah, simple, nice and short. I think he's, I wouldn't say he's the complete banker on the meeting for me, but I think he's got a very good chance. Obviously, that race last time out was very impressive. I don't think Heavy Metal's the same horse.
He's getting on a bit now, and
yeah, it's a shame really because I do really like him. But I just think Muntazat's performance last time out was very impressive. I think Kimber's probably the forgotten horse of the race, and definitely a lively outsider. Was finished ahead of Muntazat in the first round of the Almat Tomb Challenge. I quite like True Timber actually for an each way. He was second in the Cigar Mile. I think Mendelssohn was giving him £2, and he beat Mendelssohn by a length and a half. I think he also beat Cold Front at Aqueduct in November. He's drawn in three, which is obviously a very good draw. He's got a really good chance. And the one I really like is Musawat. I'm not sure what price that is, Sean.
5-1.
I think that's a big each way. I mean, his running style is not the best for the track, but he's always there on the big day. I think he was 6-1 for this last year. And I mean, stall 11's not great, but he's going to be dropped in anyway. And I think he could be running on at the death, especially into third, second, maybe.
Fab. I don't think I've learned so much in such a short space of time on a postcast. I'm loving these each way angles, guys. Sean, before we move on to the next race, any thoughts?
Yeah, I thought we might be a bit bigger Muntazar, to be honest, but just looking at the race, we couldn't really get him odds against. As Ron said, he broke the track record last day. It was very impressive. I was a little bit disappointed they didn't point him to the World Cup following that. I don't think stamina would be an issue, so maybe for next year. Yeah, I really like Cole Front, like Ron. He's bags of early pace. He overcame 14 and draw 14 in his last race, and that was in a two-turn race where they basically start in the bend, so the draw shouldn't be a problem for him. He's 6-8. His only two defeats have come in a really good grade one and off a 13-month layoff. So at the price, I'd probably back Ron up there and side with Cole Front.
Excellent. We'll move on to the 1250, which is the Dubai Gold Cup. Plenty of interest in this one. Cross Counter is surely going to be the main talking horse, the Melbourne Cup winner. Is he pretty short now, or what's the market saying, Sean?
Yeah, so we have our money back all as a free bet, all losers in this race if Cross Counter wins. He's currently the 13-8 favourite, with Ispellini 5-2, Call the Wind 11-4, 16's Prince of Arran and 18's Bardem.
Yeah, Nick, I'll go to you first. Cross Counter, it could be a really exciting horse for these cup races this year. I mean, what he did in the Melbourne Cup was extraordinary, really, wasn't it, to come from so far back?
Yeah, definitely. Ran a big race in the Melbourne Cup. Sean, can you go back to that offer quickly, please?
Yep, so it's money back, all losers, if Cross Counter wins. It's max stake a tenner as a free bet.
So I think, Paddy, no, Call the Wind's the real deal. I think he wins this and then goes on to win the Ascot Gold Cup. I mean, you wouldn't expect a Frankel horse to be slugging it out over 2 mile 4, but his performance in the Cadran was exceptional. I really like the horse he was second to, Hold Dassey Green. That went on to win the pre-Royal Oak over 2 miles.
He's very solid, isn't he? I sort of like that form line.
Definitely. I think you can, if you go through the form lines, Hold Dassey Green gave Marmello a beating. Marmello was a length behind Cross Counter in the Melbourne Cup, and I think Cross Counter was getting £9 from Marmello on that occasion. Prince of Arran was back in third in the Melbourne Cup. I think he was £6 as well. Cross Counter was £6 well in on Prince of Arran on that day as well. And I think Freddie Head summed it up when he was asked, are you scared of Cross Counter? And he said, no, it was a handicap. And I think I really like Call the Wind. I can't see him beat. You've got to be worried about Cross Counter. Obviously, his 12 furlong form in the UK is great. Ispellini's run really well. But I mean, I think Bruntland, unfortunately, when that broke down, I think that was the Godolphin number one for this race originally. Mm. And although saying that, if Cross Counter was in the Shima Classic, I'd be backing it. But I just think Call the Wind's a good thing.
Okay. I introduced that to you quite funnily because I was saying, yeah, Cross Counter's a great horse. And no, Call the Wind's the one I'm on. So, Ron, what do you make of this bunch?
Yeah, I'm in agreement there with Nick. I like Call the Wind. I respect Cross Counter, but he was impressive in the Melbourne Cup. But I wouldn't get carried away with that. I mean, you think the year before, Rekindling won that as a three-year-old off a lightweight. Cross Counter came and won it as a three-year-old off a lightweight. Not many three-year-olds get into the Melbourne Cup. And when they, I think before that, there was a handful, four or five in the last 10 years, and one of them had placed at a big price. So I for all that he was impressive, I think he was probably at an advantage that day off a lightweight against quite a few exposed horses. Prince of Arran in third, you know, I mean, he's very well exposed. He's a likeable horse and stuff. But I don't know, I wouldn't be going mad on Cross Counter's Melbourne Cup. Great if he wins, he is a very good horse. But yeah, absolutely with Nick, Call the Wind's a good horse as well. And he's a better price, he's got the breeding. He's a sort of late maturing type who should just be getting stronger and better as he gets older. Freddie Head won the Dubai Turf a few years ago with a sort of similar late maturing gelding in Solo. Solo trialled at Shanty three weeks before he won the Dubai Turf. Call the Wind did the same thing. At the prices, I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. Call the Wind's the bet. On the point of Ispellini, again, Nick made a good point there. This wasn't even the plan for him. He was impressive. He sets a decent enough local standard. But the plan beforehand was to go for the Sydney Cup. Unfortunately, his stablemate broke down in the same race, Bruntland. So Ispellini's now been chucked in here. He deserves his place. He's a good horse, ran to a decent level last time. But in Call the Wind and Cross Counter, I think he's up against two really good horses. And yeah, I'm happy to bet at these prices that Call the Wind is the better of the two. So,
okie dokie. And we'll go full circle and I'll go back to Sean.
Yeah, I think Nick read my notes there. I'm in full agreement. I think Calder Wynn's a full win bet here. I thought his prep was nearly his best piece of form over completely inadequate 9 furlongs, giving £6 away to a really useful Andre Fairhorse and Trey Flores, and he's ran into a length and a half. So that's a massive prep coming into this. Should have him spot on. So not a fan of cross counter. He comes here without a prep, straight from Melbourne. And surely this is one Charlie's going to have an eye in the UK season with as well. So I'm not sure he'll be completely wound up. Call the win be a full win bet for me.
Okay, lots of confidence behind Call the Win. Then these Frankels, they do seem to stay quite well. As much as people wouldn't expect that, I think they often are strong stayers. So as a Cadran winner, he's proved that already. We'll move on to a race where there's bound to be a very short price favourite indeed. And that's the 130 Alquaz Sprint Blue Point. He's been a superstar so far in Maidan this season. And what price is he likely to go off this time around, Sean?
7-4 on, we have him. Next few in the market then, we have Sans O'Malley 15-2, Stormy Liberal 10-1, Wishful Tinker 12-1, Brave Smash 14s, Caribou Club 16s, and it's 20 bar then.
Ron Wood, what can you take him on with, if anything?
I put up Brave Smash against him. I mean, to be honest here, there's 8 races on the card. This is the one that I was sort of least inspired with. It was difficult. Blue Point, he might go and win. He could argue he'll probably go and win. I just wouldn't be backing him at odds on. And then you're looking for one against him, really. You're sort of scratching around. And Brave Smash is a good horse. The one thing that puts me off, he hasn't got a great strike rate. And you think for a real top-level horse, you'd like to have seen him win a few more races over the years. But he has won 2 Group 1s in Australia. He's twice placed in the Newmarket Handicap in Australia, which is one of their big sprints, and including last time out. So he comes into this, you know, in top form. I also thought this was potentially a slightly muddling race, which is, you know, weird to say for a 6 furlong Group 1, but there isn't a whole lot of pace in the race. Sans O'Malley's drawn low. He might take them along for a little while, but the ground's probably a bit quick for him. Other than that, you're sort of scratching around to sort of see, well, who's going to go on? And Blue Point's drawn an 8. I mean, I think he's more of a 5 furlong horse than a 6 furlong horse. This is 6 furlongs. If he's a bit wound up, he got very wound up last year, I think.
Yeah, he was withdrawn, wasn't he?
He was, yeah, and I think he basically was a bit wound up in the saddling area or something along those lines, banged his nose or scratched his nose or something. The vet wasn't sure where the blood was coming from, so he was taken out just as a precaution. He might be fine now. He's had 2 preps this time rather than 1, so sort of take that edge off him a little bit and keep him calm. But if he's drawn 8, or he is drawn 8, and if there's not a whole lot of pace in the race, you know, and the low numbers maybe just get a bit of a toe, then I don't know. He'll probably, as I say, I'm scratching around a little bit. He might go and win. He might go and win easy. I just think he's sort of priced up as if he's a superstar. And I don't know if he is a superstar. He's a good horse. And if it was 5 furlongs, I'd say, yeah, he's probably the best horse. No, he's not. It's 6 furlongs. Potentially not going to get a great deal of cover. I wouldn't be backing him at odds on. So Brave Smash looks like a fair option to me. I don't know what the guy, you know what Nick thinks.
Yeah, as a self-proclaimed sort of non-Maidan expert, I was having a look at this race last night and I thought Mazzini was quite interesting at 50-1. Am I absolutely nuts? I mean, he's got good form behind Blue Point and Ektiar last time, and he's really flourished out in Maidan this campaign.
Absolutely, I wouldn't put you off. I mean, I think even you could argue he's even better than he showed last time, because he is a little bit funny. Sometimes holds his head a bit funny, can half miss the break. And last time was one of those races where he did miss the kick a little bit. So he gave himself quite a lot to do. Up into group company, the last thing you really want to be doing is giving away ground at the start, which he did. He still ran all right. I mean, he kept on for third. And previous to that, he made all in a handicap here. So he has got early speed. You know, I'm talking about a lack of speed in this race. If he was to ping, which isn't guaranteed, but if he does fly out the gates, he could get, yeah, I wouldn't put you off him. He's with a good trainer as well, Fawzi Nass. He gets some good results. He won the Golden Shaheen a few years ago, this trainer with Krypton Factor, who arguably wasn't a superstar himself. So, yeah, sort of 50-1. If Blue Point is to be beaten, then absolutely.
Thanks, filling me full of confidence. Nick, what do you think?
I can't really add much to what Ron said about Blue Point. I think exactly the same. For the 2 prep runs, he was 4-7 the night before, going into 1-4. And I mean, realistically, in those races, I thought he was still value. But again, you've got to really be looking to get him beat 4-6.
Is the 6 furlongs the crucial thing with him? Because I feel like he may just be a better horse over 5 these days.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I definitely think he's probably better over 5. Again, there might be something.
Just to interrupt, I mean, the fact he went for the King's Stand last year, when he could have run at Royal Ascot, when he could have run in a 6 furlong Group 1, tells you all you need to know. He did set the 6 furlong track record at Ascot as a young horse, but the fact that the connections, you know, that's them admitting themselves, he's more of a 5 furlong horse than a 6 furlong horse. Otherwise, when they had 2 options, they chose the 5, didn't they? They've only got 1 option now, so they're sort of forced to go 6. Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, that was just a point.
Carry on.
No, I believe Charlie Appleby actually said this morning that the King's Stand is the aim. So, yeah, complete, well point there. For me, Stormy Liberal, I thought he ran a great race last year. He got a bit caught in behind Fatinar and Labrisa Breeze when making his run. In the prep runs, he was behind Caribou Club, but I think he was really just kind of given a day out. And I think at 10-1, he's probably a reasonable one to take. Sanza Mali should give him the lead from two, Stormy Liberal's in one. Again, like Ron said, it's not a race I'd be looking at.
Okay, and what about you, Sean?
Yeah, look, I think he's probably going to win, but I'm not going to be jumping on the 4-7. I'd echo Nick's point there about Stormy Liberal. I think his two last runs since the Breeders' Cup, he's been second on both occasions. They both scream prep. He actually slipped on the bend on the last occasion. He would have won otherwise. He has the track form in the book. Some of these American horses obviously don't take to the straight 6 furlongs, but you know he's going to do it. He gets Joel Rosario on today. He was a good jockey. As you say, they get a toe into the race from Sanza Mali. So at an each-way price, he'd be my token selection in the race.
Okay, the 205 is the UAE Derby, won last year by Mendelssohn in scintillating style. This year, a filly's contesting it, Sean, Divine Image, and she's bound to be popular again for the boys in blue.
She is, yeah. We have her in as favourite as 9-4, followed by Walking Thunder at 5, Jabath 11-2, Grey Magician 10, Stubbins 10, Dermalouvre at 12, Pluke Parfait and Van Beethoven, both 14-1, and at 16s bar them.
Excellent. Now, Rod, talk to me a bit about Divine Image, because she seems to have overcome quite a lot that hasn't gone her way in Maidan this season.
Yeah, she's done well. I mean, first time out, she was all the rage to win the 1,000 guineas, and she gave them a 10-length head start. She fell out the stalls, and she did well to get second that day. That was quite good. I mean, she was well beaten into second, but she did well to even get that close. Next time out, she won the UAE Oaks. It wasn't a very good race, and it wasn't a great performance. But again, the race didn't totally go her way, so you could sort of argue she did well to win. And then last time, she sort of showed her true worth. She was put in against the boys, and this is where you sort of find out whether she was any good. And she won easily. She won by about 7.25 lengths or something like that. And so she is a very good filly. The one thing I would say is, I mean, going back to that first run in the Guineas, when she did give them a 10-length head start, although she's broken on terms both her runs since, on both occasions, she sort of played up a little bit behind the stall. She sort of pinned her ears back, sort of, you know, jumps on her high legs a little bit, and she's gone in and she's done.
Got a bit of a character.
Exactly, yeah, and she's a chestnut filly. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know
whether there's anything in that or not. It's probably nonsense, isn't it? But yeah, so I don't know. But for me, she's a good filly, but this is a bit more competitive again. And it just does bother me a little bit that she's a bit sort of flighty, doesn't really love the stalls, and one day she might just pin her ears back in the race and just not really fancy it in the race either. So, and the point to make as well, that she's a filly who beat the boys last time in the Albasta Kaya, which is the middle leg of the Triple Crown, but the colts have been rubbish this year in the UAE. So as good as she is, she sort of jumped right to the head of the pack, much to the best of the locals, but she wasn't beaten a whole lot. I mean, now you've got Willie Haggis's horse in
Jabath,
there. Yeah, he's interesting. He's going to stay well. He's got this sort of experience of Southall. You've got Van Beethoven, Brian, and then you've got a handful of American horses in there. And I don't know how you pronounce it, that Blue Parfait, the Brendan Walsh one, number 4. He's the one I put up in the paper. It's just for the fact that he sort of lost his way a little bit last time. He didn't run a great race, but before that, his form was solid. In his maiden win last year at Keeneland, which is one of the premier tracks in America, you know, if you win a maiden at Keeneland, it's like winning a maiden at Newmarket or something. He beat the second from that race, actually won a grade 3 or grade 2 next time, and runs in the Florida Derby on Saturday night. And then the third won the Sunderland Derby on Sunday. So he beat a couple of graded winners when he won his maiden. And if he was to run to anything like that level now, he's probably going to take care of the local horses in this. And another interesting factor for this horse is Brendan Wolfe, the trainer, used to be a work rider in Dubai. He said he only really wanted to return to Dubai with a good horse, as you can understand. You know, he wants to, having been there and worked there, he wants to sort of take the right horse over. Jose Ortiz is as good a dirt jockey as you'll get. He's a fantastic jockey. Also got a good stall in draw and four. Blinkers are added just to sharpen him up, because the one negative is he's not the quickest early. So he's not a slug, but he's not the quickest early. So blinkers might just sharpen him up. I factor all that in. I mean, Sean, is he 16-1, something like that?
14-1.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's a very fair price. Double figures about him is going to give you hopefully a run for your money, just because I don't believe in the local form, really. If the filly wins, great. Good luck to her. But he's far more. With good, solid American form, double figure price, he'll do to me. So.
Okay, I'm definitely liking all this value. Are you going to add to that, Nick, or...?
No.
No.
I love Divine Image. I think she's excellent. I think she goes and wins here. Whether she's a betting proposition at the price, potentially, she's been shortening up, so... but
she's always had a big reputation, cost a lot of money. The hype is there, isn't it?
100%. I think Charlie Appleby put her up and is free to follow at the beginning of the year. As Ron said, she fell out the stalls that first time. That's probably one of her most impressive performances, actually, to get second there. The UAE Oaks, she got kind of trapped in on the bend. I think if she'd have got out, she'd have won by a lot more. And then was, I mean, really impressive last time out. Each way, I think Van Beethoven ran well at Dundalk. That's an interesting one.
Aidan always seems to target this race, doesn't he?
Definitely. I mean, we got caught out by Mendelssohn last year, and it was staying on really well. I think it's got an interesting chance. I mean, I'm not overly sure on the American horses. I picked out Stubbins out of those. Jabarth could be anything, but I certainly wouldn't be back in that first time on the dirt. It's interesting to see the Tories up on Walking Thunder. I mean, he had a big reputation, so that could be interesting as well.
Yeah, definitely. Lots of different angles in this race. Finally, Sean again.
Yeah, I better add in the shameless plug that we are paying an extra place in this race before I start. But I think Divine Image has improved her behaviour, and as a result, her performance is in her three starts out here. If she goes on and does that again, we'll probably be good enough to see her win. Walking Thunder is the one I was really interested in. I didn't think there was a load of early pace in this race, and from one, they only really have one option to gun him to the lead on the rail. You're Frankie in the saddle, there's no better man setting the fractions on a soft lead, so I just thought that one might get a bit loose, and a 5-11-2, I just think he's the kind of horse that could be 5-2 after a couple of furlongs with a couple of lengths lead setting soft fractions.
Yeah, he's proved he can go out and do it that way already, hasn't he? We'll be back for part two of this podcast just after this quick break.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Dubai World Cup special postcast. Now we're going to talk about the Dubai Golden Shaheen, which is at 2:40. News earlier this week that Roy H is out. So I think this leaves it as a pretty open contest, doesn't it, Sean?
Absolutely. We're 5-2 the field at the moment. Your favourite is XY Jet for Jorge Navarro. We are 3-1 Imperial Hint, 7-2 Drafted. 5-1 promises fulfilled, and double figures the rest.
Where do we start with this one, Nick?
It's certainly interesting with Roy H coming out. I'm a big fan of XY Jet. The trainer said it's a horse you need to keep right, and on arrival in Dubai, he's been right. He's been so unfortunate. He's been beaten in this, touched off by a nose and a head the last two occasions. I can't have Imperial Hint beat at 1-5 last time out. Promises for fulfilled is interesting. Again, perfect running style for the race. It's going to be both of them blitzing out the stalls, and I think it could be a case of whoever gets out wins. Drafted could be interesting, but I think the US horses are just way too good.
Okay, Ron, do you agree?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I like Promises Fulfilled. Tipped him at the Breeders' Cup. He just went a bit too fast. That wasn't the greatest ride because he doesn't need to be absolutely gunned like that. He is a very good, quick horse. He can sit second. He can lead. And I just think he's the now horse. Imperial Hint 6, XY Jet 7. Promises Fulfilled is a four-year-old. He's got his best days ahead of him still. I think he'll have the tactical advantage. And I think he's the best horse. I think he's probably an all right bet.
Okay, and Sean?
Yeah, I've come right round to Drafted here, having ignored him all winter. I think XY Jet and Imperial Hint and Promise of the Field are all going to go forward. And the way the track's been playing this year, it's a little bit deeper, it's a little bit fair. And I think from just drawing outside them, if he can latch on to them.
Set it up to them.
Exactly. There'll be no horse finishing better than him. He's 4 from 5 over course and distance. And he's a quick enough horse in his own right. Doug's improving him run to run, so he'd be my selection.
Okay, so a bit of varied opinion there. In the 3:20, the Dubai Turf, we get to see a glimpse of the Japanese superstar, which is Almond Eye. Over a shorter trip than she has done some of her winning over, but she's clearly exceptional. It'd be interesting to see her on this bigger stage, Nick, and see how she fares if they're going to go indeed to the Arc in the autumn.
100%. There's been a lot of talk around her. But I think this is the best race in depth, really. But I think the price is too short. I mean, she's been off 125 days. She's overseas for the first time. It's going to be interesting. I don't think you can back a horse at that price, however good she could be. She could be the real deal. I mean, this year's Arc de Triomphe could be an unbelievable race if she ends up. I think she's got the world record over 12 furlongs as well, which is quite interesting. If she was in the Shima Classic, she'd be one of the all-time bankers, I think, personally. But over this distance, it's in such a competitive race as well. I like Dreamcastle. He's done nothing wrong. He's done the Ben Battle route. He's done it quite comfortably as well. Sean, what price is he?
7-2 Ben, or 7-2 Dreamcastle. Sorry,
I think that's reasonable. Maybe any shorter, and you know, it's probably too short. But he's got a good chance. I Can Fly is interesting for O'Brien as well.
Ron, when I was looking at this race, I was really taken by Vivlos. Won this race in 2017, second to Ben Battle last year, and posted one of a really great performance last time out in Hong Kong to Beauty Generation, one of the best milers in the world. So I think she's really solid when it comes to an each way selection.
Yeah, I like Vivlos in terms of she's a nice sort of mare. I've gone for sort of one from the same country, Deirdre, instead. She's a five-year-old. Vivlos is a six-year-old. This is Vivlos's third run here. If I was to maybe sort of crab her in any way, it's that she hasn't had a prep, and you know, she, as I say, she's a six-year-old now. So whether she can still find that peak, I'm not sure. I mean,
did she run well out in Hong Kong as well?
She did. She ran well. And Joe Moreira won the Dubai Turf on Vivlos. He's on Deirdre. She's had a prep. She's the only one of the three Japanese horses to have had a prep in this race. The four Japanese horses that have won this race all had a prep. I know. I wonder if people are getting a bit carried away with Almond Eye. It'd be great to see her. It'd be good if she wins in terms of just for the spectacle. But I don't know. She won the Japan Cup from stall one off a really lightweight because she had a sex allowance. She had her age allowance. The last three Japan Cup winners have been drawn and won. In 2014, stall four beat stall one. Everything was right for her that day. Lightweight. And a ground-saving trip. This time she's had no prep. She's cutting back to nine furlongs. It's her first time abroad. She's drawn a little bit wide. Well, not a little bit wide. She's drawn seven in a race where there's not a lot of pace. Deirdre was third in this last year from, I think, 12 or 13. Now she's in three. Moreira's up for the first time. As I say, she's the only one that's had a prep. I think Deirdre each way against Almond Eye is the better card to person.
Wonderful. Sean, quickly.
Yeah, I'd love to see Almond Eye win, but she won't be carrying my money. I'd agree with Nick there with Dreamcastle. I think the gelding operation he got's been the making of him. He's three from three in the three course and distance prep since he came out here. It's the Ben Battle route from last year. He just looks rock solid. Well, the favourite obviously has a question or two to answer.
We've mentioned the Longines Dubai Shima Classic already. It's at 4 o'clock. And although Old Persian is favourite in a lot of markets for this, I think the Japanese could hold the key again. What does the market say, Sean?
Well, we're 6-4 Old Persian. We are 3-1 Rey de Oro. We are 5-1 on Magic Wand, and then double figures are them.
Fantastic. I'm a big Rey de Oro fan, Ron. Are you with me and you think the Japanese could hold the key, or are you going to rubbish those claims?
No, I've gone for a Japanese one. Not Rey de Oro, but Suave Richard. They're closely matched. I think there's a couple of points to make about this race. In terms of Old Persian, watch the Gold Cup and see how Cross Counter gets on, because they're really closely matched. They're from the same stable, they're the same age. I think that'll be a bit. Now they're older. Now they're tackling sort of older horses. Okay, Cross Counter beat old horses in the Gold Cup, but I think Cross Counter will be a good line to Old Persian. If he wins, that would increase confidence for Old Persian. If he gets beat, then you start thinking, I don't know. The Japanese are good.
They're sort of established and they're proven, aren't they, at the top level more than Old Persian?
Absolutely, and we don't really know how Old Persian's going to get on against them. So that'll be it's guesswork, really. The three Japanese are closely matched, so the problem you've got then is, if you like the Japanese over Old Persian, which one do you pick? If you like Rey de Oro, I mean, yeah, he's a good horse, possibly still peaking. I mean, but Suave Richard, again, I'm going back to this thing, he's had the prep. He's the only one of these that's had the prep in terms of the Japanese runners. Moreira's up for the first time, as you can probably tell. I'm a big Joe Moreira fan. He's got a bit of tactical speed as well. I think sometimes these long-distance races at Meidan, they tend to crawl around and then sprint. And, I mean, he was placed over a mile last year in a Grade 1. He won a mile and a quarter Grade 1. Big horse who's possibly still peaking. I can't say he's definitely the one, but he'll do for me.
Okay, so no love for Old Persian so far. Nick, are you a fan?
No love for the race.
No love for the race.
It's a poor group one, really. It's very tricky. It's the one on the card I really looked at and thought, no, not for me. Magic Wand is the one I'd take out of it. She's ran really well, globetrotting as well. She's got a chance on her Group 1 form and could go close. I think Rey de Oro is probably the best of the Japanese, but they are very closely matched. And I can't see anything else. Magic Wand for me.
Yeah, presumably, Sean, like Ron's touched on, if Cross Counter goes in, then the confidence is going to come behind Old Persian.
Absolutely. I've confidence in him already, to be honest. The one thing I'll add is that he's probably the best backed horse of the entire carnival for the trial for this race, which I thought spoke wonders. First time running since the Ledger where he didn't stay. He's gotten into all sorts of trouble, William Buick. The horse has gotten him out. The Japanese horses, the lad said, are closely linked. I'm kind of looking at them two radars running the race last year. The race wasn't probably run to suit, but I don't think this will be either, so I've kind of tossed them. Magic Wand, I'd give some bit of respect to, but against the boys here for only the second time, I think the favourite looks absolutely rock solid. I think it'll be a proper middle distance horse in the UK this season as well.
Okay, I like the sound of that. We'll move on to the feature, which is at 4:40. It is the Dubai World Cup. Thunder Snow, last year's winner, coming back for more. What chance has he got of doing the double run?
I like him. He was well beaten in his prep, but I wouldn't read too much into that because he hadn't run for, I think, 3 or 4 months and he got tired. It was a strange race. Like the winner, Capizano, set a fast pace. Everything was broken, sort of leaving the back, apart from Thunder Snow.
He's very tough, isn't he?
He's very tough, yeah. I mean, he looked quirky early in his career, didn't he, when he was sort of bucking and kicking, coming out of the stalls in the Kentucky Derby. But since then, he's just proven to be a really sort of tough sort, any sort of surface. I like him. I mean, I'm not worried about his draw. I think, if anything, his draws are positive in a strange sort of way, if you like him, because he's in 12. It means there's like a point or two being added to his price. But there's not a whole lot of pace in the sort of middle gates. So I think he'll jump and he'll get a decent sit. So I think, I think Thunderstone's solid. I actually went for Gunavera. I might be kicking myself for going for a deep closer, which Gunavera is, because sometimes this track the horses can get away and the closers don't get involved. But I mean, he's drawn against the rail, which is often favoured. He's really tough, Gunavera. He'll face kickback, no issues. If the jockey just hugs the rail and they go apace, and I mean, he was second in the Breeders' Cup Classic, so he's a decent horse. I just, the point to make is that the two pace horses are in 2 and 3, Capizano in North America. If they both break and go, really aggressive dirt riders they've got, Mikhail Barcelona and Richard Mullen. Neither of them are going to give an inch. They're both going to really want the lead. And if one of them was to half miss it, the other one gets a solo and probably won't come back. But I mean, I'm hoping they cut each other's throats and something like Gunavera can pick them up. But you know, or Thunder Snow. But it's really interesting race. It's one of those that you'd love to have a bet down the back straight, because it's going to you'll have a good idea then how it's unfolding and who's going to be best placed. But beforehand, yeah. It's a bit tactical.
I'll get Sean to confirm this in just a sec, but North America, I think he's favourite in a lot of the markets, but I was really unimpressed last time. I'm not sure what he beat, but he seemed to be really flagging in the closing stages. Was that just because he'd gone too fast early, or do you think he could be vulnerable?
Yeah, no, I was disappointed as well. I was doing the sort of live reporter for Maidan that day, and I was bigging him up all day, saying, wait, do you see something special here, and so on. And then he was like a really flat performance, really underwhelming, even though he won. So, yeah, I was disappointed. However, Richard Mullen was interviewed straight after, and he actually said, I'd imagine people at home will be disappointed with this, but he'd run big 3 weeks earlier. Like, he ran a really fast time 3 weeks earlier. So almost going back to the Muntasar point, North America ran a fast time first up, came back 3 weeks later, and he was just flat. He just couldn't do it. He still won. So that since then, they've been mindful of that. They've given him a 7-week break. It's all about this race. I mean, the bizarre thing is, it's all about this race. His whole almost Dubai career has been building around this day. And the trainer had first pick of the draw. And unbelievably, he picked stall 3 instead of stall 1 or stall 2. And Capizano then got drawn later, and Connection shrewdly went inside of the big pace rival to North America. Shrewdly went inside. The door was left open, and you know, they took their chance. I don't know why they didn't put North America on the rail with the plan to absolutely gun him, bag the rail and burn off Capizano. As it is, they made life hard for themselves, because they've let Capizano in stall 2 and North America's in 3. So if switch the stalls, I'd be on North America, because I think he's a very good horse. I think he'll bounce back from the 7-week break. But I don't know, he's now going to have to spend half the race trying to burn off Capizano and then worry about all those closers. So.
Okay, that's interesting tactically how the race could play out. Then, Sean, is North America still favourite?
He is, yep. So we're 4 places in this race again. You have North America, 3-1 favourite. Thunder Snow, 4s. Capizano, 9-2. Seeking the Soul, 6. Yoshida, 8. Gunavera, 12. Audible, 12. And 25 by them.
And who would be your selection?
I've come round to Seeking the Soul eventually. I was in North America. I've just gone off him, as Ron said, with that draw. I'd be very against Capizano. The time of his wide margin victory the last day was very slow. It'd probably be a place lay for me, being honest. Seeking the Soul has run 2 really good races behind City of Light. He ran a cracker in the Pegasus. He was probably valued to be a bit closer. He got absolutely mullered coming around the final bend, nearly taken to a stop. So with Money Mike in town for the only ride, I think he'll get a lovely trip from 5 with the pace just inside him. They should hopefully tow him into the race, and he finishes races really well. So that'll be my selection.
OK, plenty of horses we've not mentioned so far, Nick. But before we go on to your naps, who's your selection in the big one?
I loved Thunder Snow last year. and I love him this year. I was a bit disappointed with the draw. I know he came out of 10 last year, but then when I was looking through the card, I was looking through the American horses, and it was held up. So, I mean, the chance is there, and as Ron said, ideally for Thunder Snow backers, you want Capizano and North America to go out there and battle it out and then set the race up for Thunder Snow, really.
He's not a horse who sort of flags in the closing stages, though, is he? He really sticks to his task, Thunder Snow.
Definitely. I mean, I think the Breeders' Cup Classic is a prime example of that. And he's got the master, Simeon, on board. Simeon will be able to drag him over the line if he's flagging, I think, and I just think he's the real deal. I'd love it if North America did win as well. Got a lot of affection for that horse, and Richard Mullen's great as well. I agree, Seeking the Soul and Yoshida would probably be the each-way bets if they were staying on late, but I can just see Simeon stalking them into the bend and then going away.
Now it's time for your naps of the day, this super card at Dubai. Who's your number one bet?
I put Muntazar in the Maidan punt, but every time I keep looking, Call the Wind just keeps coming back to me.
Okay, Call the Wind for Nick. Ron?
Deirdre in the Dubai Turf. She was third last year. It's a bit of a cop-out. I think this time she'll be better than that. She'll either be second to a superstar in Almond Eye, or she'll win. I can't have her out of the three. I can't have her out of the two. I think Deirdre's a great each-way bet.
Fantastic. And Sean, finally?
100% Call the Wind in the Gold Cup.
Lovely. Thanks very much for joining us, guys. If you enjoy these shows, as always, make sure to rate, review and to subscribe. The Golf Postcasts are on every Wednesday, the football on Thursday, and I'll be back on Monday to give a weekend review. We'll see you then.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.